Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Okay, start the show. We got to start the show.
Cool. Let's get that party started, people.
What? Mm-hmm. We just talk about somebody getting robbed. Meaning the Sacramento Kings getting robbed. That's crazy.
That's what they want.
A lot of things to talk about, too. Man, of course, America, welcome, of course, to Talking Sports.
Gotta start seeing the results on the court,
man.
Though.
Yeah, that's true. It's all about chemistry. So we are ready to kick this thing off, as we always like to do, Talking Sports for the 12th minute on a Thursday, February the 23rd. Man, fellas, what an amazing week we've had on a Robert spin on the road out of the country, man. Just like travel, man. So we're excited. Let's get this party started. I mean, just a lot of fun things, man. So we'll talk about that in a quick second. But let me introduce to you the co-host of the show. I'm Andre Peterson, as always, joined by my fellow co-host. Let's kick it off with Mr. JQ Jaquan Jenkins. How are you feeling this evening, sir?
I feel all right, man. I wish my Lakers had a little bit more. We can get into it later. But, you know, props to the Pelicans for swooping in and just grand theft auto in Sacramento. Everybody
that's
out
about
there,
right.
I'm going to get a new intro. I finally have pieced together in my mind what I wanted to do. So bear with me. I'm going to try to do it this week so you'll have something new to listen to. It's still going to be as good. I think it'll be as good or as better as the one we got now.
Love it, man. Appreciate that, man. And your Lakers had some interesting moves, bro. So, you know, obviously pretty big with Magic. We'll talk about that. Magic Johnson, a lot of moves happening. We'll talk about that too, man. So a lot of love, man. Let me kick it off to my other fellow co-host, Mr. Robert Ford, the man of the hour. I'm sure he's going to tell us what he ate, all that fun stuff, and we're going to talk about the Pelicans, who probably were the talk of the NBA this past couple of days here. So, Robert, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, doing great in H-Town tonight, and just witnessed H-Town put a whipping on my Pelicans by 30 points. Lou Williams, man. Better watch those Houston Rockets, people. Yeah, they could be very dangerous. Come playoff time. So I know a lot of listeners here in Houston, I'm sure they like what they're seeing out of the Rockets.
Yeah, Houston, we have a problem for real.
Houston, we do have a problem.
Yes.
That's it, Rob? You ain't gonna tell us what you ate or anything like that, bro?
You know, I'm in H-Town. Nothing serious here.
Okay.
Mm, yeah. Gotta wait till I come back to the Big Easy and start talking about food.
No, what happened on the road? I mean, you know, you was out there eating pizza in Italy, you know. Yeah, chocolates and the
getting it. You know, when in Rome, you do what the Romans do. So when in Italy, you eat like the Italians do. So, you know, I had to have some pizza and had to have some pasta. So that's a must.
There you go.
That's a must. And great desserts in Italy, too, by the way.
Was it better getting it from, you know, Italy, you know, just authentic pizza as opposed to the...
Oh, absolutely. They use all fresh ingredients and everything. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that's one enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about Rob, clearly.
Definitely better.
Hey, living vicariously through Rob. Living vicariously.
I know.
What
I know
about Andre? We never ask Andre how's he doing. He always asks us how he doing. How we doing?
You know, that's a good point. How you doing, Dre?
You know what, man? I appreciate that, Rob. I don't even know if this is a setup or what, man. But, yeah, man, you know, a lot of things going on. I'm trying to figure out the meaning of life, man. Just anyway, we don't want to jump into that. But I do appreciate that. Everything is fantastic. Family in town, as mentioned. So shout out to my cousin Jordan hanging out with me. So that's what we like to do, man. So, you know, good time.
Yeah,
good time. He's in the military. So shout out to him and his service, man. We always appreciate that as well, man. So anyway, that is what it's all about. Gentlemen.
Just in case our listeners didn't know, Dr. Dre is the master DJ as well.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Rob, I appreciate that. Oh, man, I don't know what he's trying to do to me, man. So we'll come back around to that, too, man. So, I feel like there's something about to happen here. The other shoe's going to fall. But, no, I appreciate that. It's been very humbling, and we all have our skill sets too, man. So a lot of fun, man, and I definitely enjoy my clients, man. So I just had to show some love. So we'll talk about that as well. And, man, let's just really quickly go out, guys, throw out the numbers to the show. If you want to reach out to us, if you guys want to call in, give us your thoughts, 424-243-9519. That's the number. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we are at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, we're on Facebook. You go to facebook.com/12ManSports. Or if you actually type in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find us in that arena as well. So, gentlemen, man, NBA, NBA, NBA. We got a lot of things to discuss. I do want to talk about kind of kicking it off. We're going to actually talk a little bit about some college football. You know, some instances going on with Ole Miss and Hugh Freeze and can he survive, I guess, is the question. So, JQ, kick it off, sir, man. You know, I don't know about you, man. I like to have a couple thousand dollars, you know, throwing my way too, man. So we'll talk about that later on, man. So what do you thought?
No cheating allowed, Ray.
I told you when we saw no cheating allowed.
That's true.
I told you when we saw Tunsil in the gas mask and DJ saw out that window and all that stuff come out, I told you when that happened then that he was done. And I think both Mississippi jobs are in trouble because Mullen just can't win enough in the SEC at Ole Miss and Mississippi State to be there a long term. I just don't think you can. And then you throw this gasoline on top of that fire, he's a dead man walking. I just can't see it happening. I don't see him surviving this. I mean, that's a lot to survive if you Nick Saban or Urban Meyer, you know, and you Hugh Freeze. Yeah, you got a little bit going here lately. But you don't have enough cachet to survive that. I would be shocked if he survived it. I really would.
Wow. Go ahead, Rob. Your thoughts, man.
I totally agree. I don't know if a firing is imminent. I don't know if they're going to let him get through this season and then start looking for a coach because, you know, right now you're knocking on spring practices in college football right now. So I don't know if a firing is imminent. But, you know, you go back to that class with Laramie Tunsil, with Robert Nkinche, and the wide receiver is with the Minnesota Vikings right now.
Treadwell,
yes, Treadwell. Thank you. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. When those three guys all signed to go to Ole Miss in the same recruiting class, recruiters and colleges all across the country accused Ole Miss of cheating. And there's no way they can get those guys to go to Ole Miss. And it's coming out now, and you know they said it back then that it seemed like that Hugh Freeze was just a little weasel, and he was a cheater, and obviously you know, yeah. I mean, Ole Piss, was never able to get those guys kind of guys to come to their school. And you know, Eli Manning, you know, went there, you know, but obviously his dad played at Ole Piss, and so that kind of helped him, you know, get a player like that. But obviously Ole Piss is a rival of LSU, so that's what we call them, and Louisiana. So I don't want to.
No.
I'm sorry.
I said the over-under on Ole Piss references is at 10.
Wow.
Oh, man. But, yeah, in all seriousness, I don't see how Hugh Freeze can survive this and his allegations. And, obviously, you know, he's had a Sugar Bowl victory. He had a big whipping over Oklahoma State. I was actually able to attend that game, not this past Sugar Bowl, but the Sugar Bowl before that. And Laramie Tunsil and Treadwell, they both shine. In that game, but I just can't see how he's going to be able to end. And we're just at the start. They got a self-imposed 2017 bowl ban, but it could be even more than that when you look at this lack of institutional control, and that's what the NCAA is accusing of them. That's like one of the hardest allegations that any school can accept. I mean, you can go back to Jim Tressel at Ohio State. He wasn't able to survive these kind of things. And so I can't imagine that Hugh Freeze will be able to survive this either. So it's a tough blow to the Ole Piss program. And but I just can't see I can't see beyond after this upcoming season that Hugh Freeze will be at Ole Piss.
Rob is like going all in. Yeah, Rob is cracking me up. Woo! All right, let's keep this moving here. That's enough about college football. Maybe we'll come back around towards the end of the show. But, gentlemen, I guess I kind of concur with both of you guys, even though I'm kind of curious if we're at Mullen. Mullen was a pretty hot name in coaching, and just kind of just seems like he's falling off, man. So he better get that correct, too. But, all right, let's kind of keep moving, gentlemen. Yeah, you're right. That's another good call, too. Let's talk about
but you know, Dak Prescott
moves.
Was a 3-star recruit. And so, I mean, it wasn't like the Mississippi State got a 5-star guy and, you know, Mississippi State got a 3-star guy and probably turned him into a 5-star guy when it comes to Dak Prescott. And Dak Prescott is another guy that's from Louisiana. And Les Miles recruited him to play fullback, idiot.
No, he did not. Did he really?
Yeah, I'm very serious. Les Miles recruited Dak Prescott. Play fullback at LSU.
Oh, my goodness.
That's
a
true story. Y'all think I'm giving Les Miles a hard time, but that really is a true story.
I believe you. It's funny, though, given how he's blossomed. That is just hilarious. That's another indictment on Les Miles. Wow, I didn't know that.
I got a position for you, Doc. Fullback. Come on. That's crazy, man.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy. All right.
What's the victory?
Yeah, that dude
clearly
is a
talent
evaluator. Yeah, he is clearly on a talent evaluator. All right, man, that's enough about college football, man. All right, gentlemen. NBA has been kind of ruling the roost here. And I guess the question is, did the 76ers made a mistake in dealing Nerlens Noel here? And I guess I'm going to kick it off with you, Rob. What are your thoughts about this? He's been playing we'll talk about this. You know, I don't know, you know, the opportunity to not get him developed, but what are your thoughts about that, sir?
I think it definitely was a mistake by the 76ers. I think they did not play Nerlens and Joel Embiid enough together. I think they could have tried to see if they can make that work a little bit better. I think Okafor is the guy that really, if you're going to get rid of one of the big three, he's a guy that can score, but he just doesn't do anything else for you. He doesn't rebound. He doesn't play defense. And Nerlens does all of those things. He rebounds. He plays defense. He hustles. He's not the great scorer yet, and he's the better athlete. And I feel like this was Dallas definitely wins this trade, by the way. I mean, it's no doubt about it. I mean, they're getting Andrew Bogut, and they're going to, you know, it's going to be a buyout. I think the 76ers has made another mistake, and they have made numerous mistakes in the last 5 to 6 years in that organization. And it's just continued to go downhill. Okafor was the guy you would want to get rid of, in my opinion. Nerlens just does so many things. He's not a great scorer, but he just does so many other things that can help your ball club. And I think if they could have kept him and Embiid together, two athletic big men, I think they should have tried to make that work a little bit better. And I think the Mavericks definitely come out golden in this trade.
JQ.
Yeah, and you know they've got a log jam, so they, you know, it was almost a panic move because you still got Simmons could have gone back and you still got Saric there. So they got the log jam, and Rob touching on the points. You shut down Okafor saying you're going to trade him, and then out of the left field you trade Noel. And then, so I'm not going to rehash those details because he just detailed out. But the other piece of it is that pick that they got is top 18 protected. So if Dallas doesn't, you know, get up into the 18, it dissolves into 2 second-round picks. So you don't even get a first-round pick out of it, you know, looking the way it is now with 20-something games left and where Dallas is in the standings. So they're not even going to get a first-round pick for him out of it, you know, 2 second-rounds. And that's not what you think you're going to get for, you know, what was Noel. He was a top-3 pick. And he basically turns into, you know, 2 second-round picks. That's just a bad deal for Philadelphia. They have strung themselves with playing and drafting all those power forwards and putting the pressure on themselves to make a fantastic deal for one of them to justify taking that guy to get some kind of value for him. And I don't think they got nowhere near adequate value for Noel, given when you drafted him and probably going to end up with it being 2 second-round picks. I just don't get that.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of ridiculous, crack, all of the above, how did this happen? Somebody got pitchers. There's another move that kind of happened. And I guess what Boogie Cousins going to the Pelicans? you know, I guess Rob, Chad, you want to talk about this?
I'm gonna let him have it.
Yep.
Well, obviously, I think everyone in New Orleans is pretty excited about this move. And matter of fact, ticket sales have gone through the roof, even for season tickets for next season. Because I mean, realistically, the best the Pelicans could do this season is to possibly get an 8 seed. And this season, next year is going to be the real test for them to build around Davis and Boogie Cousins. But obviously, your hope is you can get some momentum this year going into next season. Obviously, this team still needs some help, and it showed tonight. And also, you know, obviously, it's going to take some time for them to build some chemistry playing together. They definitely need Drew Holiday to be more consistent and, and coming to play every night. Tonight, he did not come to play. And the Houston Rockets just took him to the woodshed tonight and beat him by 30. Obviously, I think if you're Pelicans fans, you're going to have to be still a little patient because this is a trade in the middle of the season. These guys have got to work together in jail and get some help. And there's still a few role players and possibly another star away from Billy being the contention. But there's no question that next year this team should be a bona fide playoff team. Or Gentry and some heads have got a roll. There's no doubt about that. So they've bought a little time with this trade, but the hope is to gain some momentum going into next season, whether that is to get an 8 seed this year. But next year, definitely this team has got to be a top 4 or 5 team in the Western Conference if you're going to pair Boogie Cousins and Anthony Davis. So, like I said, some heads have got to roll, whether it be Dell Demps or Elvin Gentry, definitely. But on the Sacramento end, I don't understand it. And I don't understand. You get an injury-prone Tyreek Evans in return. You get a role player, Langston Galloway, who's a decent spot-up shooter. And Buddy Hield, I know the owner of the Sacramento Kings thinks he's the next Steph Curry. I don't see that. And if you can even go back to my draft evaluations of Buddy Hield, I thought at best that he would be a role player coming off the bench in the NBA. I never did see stardom out of him in the NBA. And obviously, as a two-guard, he's about 6'3", 6'4". And right now, you want your two guards in the 6'6", 6'7", range. So, I mean, at best, in my opinion, he's a Vinnie Johnson, the microwave, coming off the bench. Guy didn't come off the bench. That's a name from the past. So I probably wouldn't expect a name.
Yeah, it is. Microwave, love it.
But, yeah. But that's the kind of player, at best, I see Buddy Hield being. And, I mean, that's what you get in return for a proven player averaging 27 points and 12 rebounds. So, on the Sacramento front, I mean, you got to scratch your head on this. How do you pull that trigger? Right? Obviously, I think this is an A-plus for the Pelicans. I think it's an F for the Kings, no doubt about it.
Because they're a dumpster fire. Because they're a dumpster fire. They are.
And then they send the guys commercial airline tickets.
Right. That is cold-blooded. Yeah, you were spot on with that. That's just indicative of how that organization is run. There's no way all that money you send them coach commercial. That's crazy. Yeah, and you're right. And I don't have a whole lot to throw in on that. I mean, he touched on a lot of good points there. The person I love that trade for the most, and you touched on it, is Drew Holiday. Because now you've got two big men who don't have to sit under the rim and clog the paint and mess up your driving lanes. You got two guys that can pick and pop, that can go to the three-point line, that can hit the mid-range jumper, that can do all kind of things and open up that paint. And people are going to be hesitant to roll off of them when he's able to come off those screens or just drive one-on-one from the top of the key to the basket. You can't leave Anthony Davis or Boogie if they're, you know, floating around that mid-range three-point line because they've extended their range this year in the past 2 years, really, to that three-point line. You got to respect those two guys. So I love it for him, and you're absolutely right. I don't think they can get another star just salary cap-wise. I think those are going to be their two stars, but they have to have Drew Holiday be, you know, that third wheel that consistently is there and stretches the games to keep it a kind of afloat. But, you know, he's got a fantastic opportunity in front of him, having those two big guys out there with him. I mean, if not now, Drew, then when? I mean, he's got a great story with his wife and taking the time off, but, I mean, he has a fantastic opportunity to really take the next step and make a name for himself.
Absolutely. He's got to be more consistent. There's no doubt about it. He's got to be more consistent. Yeah. And this team's going to really need some spot-up shooters. And so, I mean, this team's going to need some spot-up shooters. And that's the one thing you miss when you traded Langston Galloway. He was that guy that can really spot up and shoot the ball. So, I mean, but obviously still getting Boogie Cousins in return was definitely worth it. So you're going to have to go out there and find your Lou Williams. And that's what this team is. They're going to really need some spot-up shooters and an elite wing defender as well. So that's what this team is going to need in order to move forward to be competitive going forward in the Western Conference.
Yeah, and maybe it was time for a good move because, Boogie Cousins, we know how talented he is, just maybe not a good environment anymore, and this is probably good. And there's definitely a renewed excitement, as we can tell, as far as happening. A lot of things that are going on right now, too. So, gentlemen, we're going to talk about some lesser-known names. But and when I say lesser-known, I mean that with a gleam of my eye. There's a lot of interesting moves that have been happening over the past couple hours. And let's talk about the winner between – the Suns, they're actually picking up P.J. Hunter, or I hope I got that right with that. The Suns,
the Raptors
Tucker.
Are picking up P.J. Hunter from the Suns.
Tucker, yeah. So I want to make sure I got that correct. I was looking at two different things with that. But tell me about the winner in this particular deal, and I'll give it to you, JQ. Thank you for correcting me.
Yeah, no problem. I think Hunter was the dude that played for Georgia State that had that big tournament.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
No. That's not the same Hunter.
I know.
But
I'm saying, Hunter.
That's something. Back of it. Yeah. I was thinking of RJ.
Oh, okay.
I had it in my head or something like that, too. But, yeah, but go ahead.
Yeah. But Tucker, and they all talk about it, is a fantastic – he doesn't score, but he's a fantastic defender. And that move is made with one eye to try to slow down LeBron James, whether it be in the semi or the conference finals in the East. That's what that move is about, him and Ibaka, to shut off those driving lanes for him and for LeBron and for Kyrie. So I love it for Toronto. They didn't really give up a whole lot. Everybody knew that Phoenix was trying to get rid of PJ. And, I mean, you know, I think they got like a second-round pick and somebody else a filler. You know, it's not a bad move for Toronto at all. I like it a lot. And, again, I got to give the NBA credit. And I'll throw it to Robert in a second. I got to give the other teams credit for not laying down and saying, you know what, we're just going to say, you know, it's going to be Cleveland and Golden State. I like with Toronto. They may not work, but I like them at least trying. I like Houston getting Lou Williams. It may not work, which they're at least trying. So props to them for, you know, going out there and actually doing something to say, hey, we're not conceding this title to these two teams. We're going to try to do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, and I apologize. Looking at the show topics, I actually put the name P.J. Hunter instead of P.J. Tucker. So that's my fault. But, yeah, P.J. Tucker going from Phoenix to Toronto. Yeah, definitely Toronto is the clear winner. In this trade, as JQ mentioned, now you got two elite defenders in P.J. Hunter and Serge Ibaka. And you pair them with Kyrie Irving and, of course, the big center and yeah, DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan.
DeRozan.
I apologize. Yeah. I'm still a little jet lag, America. Please forgive me.
You're good.
Yeah,
good.
DeMar DeRozan and Kyrie, of course, this is the team. This is the only team in the Eastern Conference that could possibly threaten the Cleveland Cavaliers. I know Boston right now is in second place, but I still think Toronto is probably the only team that I think that could possibly compete with the Cavs and maybe steal a couple of games from in the playoffs. I know the Washington Wizards with Wall and Bradley Beal. Right now, Beal is having a phenomenal season. Actually, I think he should have been an all-star over Carmelo Anthony, in my personal opinion, getting selected there with the Wizards being a three seed. But I think with Toronto, DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, and of course, with these two additions here, I think they can make them really competitive here. You're not going to stop LeBron James. P.J. Hunter can be physical with him. He can slow him down a little bit, make him work, make him earn his pay. And so that's what you're hoping for. But they're definitely the clear winner in this trade with the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, you're looking for Valanciunas in the center.
Yes.
Wow. Good call, gentlemen. Let's keep this moving here. We got about 6 minutes till the end of the hour here, or excuse me, till the bottom of the hour, if I say that correctly. Let's talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers. We just talked about that. They've been clearly trying to separate themselves from other teams in the East. And another player that could be very much joining the Cleveland Cavaliers is Deron Williams. And so tell us about this. And I guess, does he have enough left in the tank is my question. And I'll throw this to you, Rob, because, Dallas Mavericks seem to be kind of in an interesting free fall. There's a couple of teams we'll talk about too as well. But tell us about this move and how does it work out for Cleveland and at the next steps and what the expectations are for Deron Williams there.
Well, Deron Williams is not the player he once was when he was an all-star with the Utah Jazz and even a little bit the player that he was with the Brooklyn Nets. So he's not even he's not that player that he was with either one of those organizations. Still solid, averaging about 13 points a game this season. I believe somewhere around 6 assists and maybe a steal a game. He'll be able to help Cleveland coming off the bench. Do I think this puts Cleveland past Golden State? I do not. Although I don't like Golden State, and I hope they surpass Golden State, but that's another situation, that's another story. But I don't think with Cleveland healthy versus a healthy Golden State team, I think Golden State is still the favorite to win the title if both of these teams is healthy, even with the addition of Deron Williams. So he, like I said, he's not the player that he once was. Would he help them? Absolutely, but it still does not put them past Golden State. Now, obviously, this is not official. He's not an official member of the Cavs. The Mavs are waiving him. He still has to clear waivers in order for Cleveland to sign him, but all indications are that he will clear waivers and that he will sign with the Cleveland Cavaliers probably within a day or two after clearing waivers. So we still have to wait for that to see if that's officially going to go through, but it makes Cleveland a little bit better. I still don't think it puts them past Golden State.
Wow, go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, no, I don't think it puts them past Golden State, but I still think it's a good sign because you heard me say it before. I still don't understand why they didn't sign Lance Stephenson, and people are going to laugh, but what I'm saying, what they're looking for is somebody to come off the bench and basically be what they got stat-wise from Dellavedova. And they're missing that. And people didn't think they were going to miss that when he moved on to Cleveland, to Milwaukee. But they are missing that. And you can tell they're missing that for stretches and games. And he's not somebody that lights it up. We play good defense. He can shoot the three. He can get them in their sets. They need somebody that can do that. You can get two of those threes from Darren. He can still shoot the three. He can still get them in their sets. And we know with those second units. And maybe if you mix it with the starters here and there. But he's not going to give you that level of defense. And that's why I thought they should have got Lance Stephenson, because he could at least catch you the defense and got him in the sense and maybe not be the three-point shooter that those other two guys are. But from a rotation standpoint, come playoff time, to be the eighth or ninth man off and be able to spell Kyrie, and LeBron, too, in terms of ball-handling duties, I think it's a good move for Cleveland in that aspect. But totally agree with Rob. Even with the addition of Dan Williams, it doesn't catch them back up to Golden State. Golden State getting Kevin Durant was just the ultimate game changer, and I just don't think it's possible for them to be unless they tank or blow it themselves. But if they're playing like they can play, it could be ugly, is what I'm going to say.
Wow, good call. Good commentary for both of you guys. All right, gentlemen, let's keep it going here. And I guess we're going to keep this moving here. And I got to ask a question to JQ about what's happening with the Lakers. They traded Lou Williams to the Rockets. Not sure what the deal was, because the way Lou Williams handled it, that was like a – man, I've still got games. So, what the French toast is up with this deal? Why was it executed? And who got the better end? Something must be happening. I know Magic must be setting up. I know there's a lot of moves that happen with the Lakers as well, too. So, JQ, the floor is yours, sir.
Well, the thing about it is he's a premium asset on a team that's not going anywhere. So I understand them from a Lakers standpoint and from just a basketball objective standpoint of them moving Lou Williams because, yeah, you keep them, but they really aren't going to make the playoffs, and they're – pick they would have to send off in the Steve Nash trade if they fall out of the top three. So you still want to keep that pick in when everybody's saying a really loaded draft. So I'm not necessarily mad at that. I didn't necessarily like it went to Houston and keep him in the Western Conference, and you make yourself that road that much harder in your conference when you already have a Golden State there. Now you put another good team up there with San Antonio and Golden State and Houston with the way Lewis been playing. I didn't like that aspect of it, but I understood the deal. What I didn't like, and I'm just going to go on my own piece here, so give me a second, is they could have had a true blockbuster, because they took Ingram off the trade that would have got them Boogie before he went to New Orleans. And since Magic has taken over and you had to get rid of Bus, I sent you guys that link about, you know, Robert Sacre and passing on Whiteside and Isaiah Thomas, all kind of foolishness. So they had to go. So I'm not mad at Jeannie Buss and Magic for coming in. I'm not. Those two guys were awful. They were in the line. They had to go. They just had to go. But you could have got Boogie, and then, okay, you give up Ingram. But then you say you talk to Larry Bird, we give you another first-round pick, and you pick two or three between Russell Randle and Clarkson, you know, and maybe, you know, a second-round or pick or something like that to get George. Now you keep one of those four and get Boogie and Paul George. How they didn't make that happen when it was there to be had, I don't know. But the Lou Williams trade, I'm not really mad at, because, like I said, he's somebody that should be on a contender. He's not going to do anything for the Lakers this year but take them out of that top three and make them give away that pick.
Wow. Robert Ford, the floor is yours, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I mostly agree with everything JQ said, but I still got to give the Rockets the edge in this trade. Obviously, it's going to help. I still think it's going to help them more in this trade and even long term. I don't see it helping the Lakers tremendously here. So I still think the Rockets are going to get more value in this trade. And I think it makes them a once again, I don't put them past Golden State. But I think they could really move into that two spot past the Spurs possibly in the Western Conference. The way they're shooting the ball, the way they're spacing the floor, and Mike D'Antonio's offense, I mean, they're going to be really tough. I mean, they put up 130 points practically tonight and had 100 by the end of the third quarter practically. And so they really can shoot the basketball. They're spacing the floor extremely well, and they just have shooters. I mean, from Gordon, Anderson, Lou Williams, Harden, and Nene and Clint Capella. They're big men. They're not scoring, but they're being real physical, and they're playing really good defense. And that's basically all he really needs them to do with those guys on the perimeter that they have can score and distribute the basketball. So I think this definitely makes them a really strong team and could really move into that two spot in the Western Conference.
Oh, don't get me wrong.
Robert Sounds jealous.
It really worked for Houston. I'm not saying it didn't. That's a great trade for Houston. Don't get me wrong. The trade is about – what does Lou do for your team right now in terms of them Lakers standpoint? They still got a first-round pick. You were never getting, you know, two or three first-round picks for Lou Williams. That just wasn't happening to any team. Maybe Sacramento might have been dumb enough to do that. But nobody else was going to do that. So to get a first-round pick for him is, I think, the best they were going to do. But, yeah, on-court production, yeah, for Houston, that I totally agree. That puts them in that second tier with San Antonio. And I think they're in that second tier by themselves with San Antonio, you know, just below Golden State. So, agreed.
Yep.
Andre? I'm so sorry. I had the phone on mute, man. I apologize about that. I'm finally excited that you guys are talking about your teams. I can finally talk about my team here.
Yeah, I hope
went
to sleep on us, America.
I literally put myself on mute. Don't get it twisted out there, America. Trying to like, see, everything was good. Now we got to go back and talk some junk. Gentlemen, let's talk about this move. And I was kind of curious about this because we talked about some names out there. We're going to talk about some moves that didn't get made, because sometimes those are the best moves. But let's talk about the Hawks 76ers trade for Tiago Splitter. And I'm going to sit back and get your thoughts, guys, because, you know, I'm going to be kind of, you know, maybe I'm too close to the situation, but I want to get your thoughts if this was a good move and what can the Hawks expect out of Ilya Solovic. So go ahead, Ilya Sova. So go ahead, Rob. I'll let you take it first.
Well, Ilya Sova actually fits the Hawks system. And so I think he will be a decent addition. But I also think they didn't use Splitter properly as well. So I think he will be able to go in and I think can help the 76ers as well. So I pretty much see an even trade here. I don't really see a winner or loser. I think actually both of these guys are probably going to go to a better situation that fits their playing style a little bit better. Especially Ilyasova, because of you know, he's a guy that can really stretch it and shoot the basketball, and so I know Mike Budenholzer, whatever his name is, that's kind of the style of play he wants to space the floor, and he can really be a stretch four for you coming off the bench, And but I think Splitter will be a good addition for the Sixers too.
Good, good, Jeff.
Yeah, well, I'm going to throw a whole lot of rain on that parade because, to me, it's not about a winner and a loser. It's a why trade. Why do that, Atlanta? What's the end game? So you don't trade Millsap, who's your best chip outside of Schroeder, who you can't trade. You got to build around somebody. So you keep those two, and you get that guy. He might be able to do everything that Rob just said. That's why you traded for him. So you do what? You stay in the fourth or fifth spot, so you're just not good enough to beat any of the top teams, but not bad enough to get a really high pick and improve your team. I just don't know what Atlanta is doing. I don't understand why you would make that trade. You know, it's just self-preservation of, well, we made the playoffs, and you just keep pitching that to the fans of, we're making the playoffs, then I guess that's a good move for them. But it just keeps them in no man's land, and they cannot get out of no man's land. They stay in the same Joe Johnson, Josh Smith kind of thing. Now you got, you know, Howard and Millsap the Schroeder, and just, you know, a good team, but not a good enough team to win it all. Really, he'd probably maybe make the finals in the Eastern Conference. Like, I don't get it. They got to either say, we're going to go balls out and get some stars, or we're going to have to be Philadelphia bad and get stars through the draft and build it that way. But what they're doing right now is going to lead them in perpetual 48 to 50 win seasons outside of the blip. I know they had the 60 win season, but more than likely in that 45 to 50 win range, and just good enough to make the playoffs, but not good enough to make any noise. I don't know. I don't know what the end game is for Atlanta ownership and the GM.
They habitual line steppers on that 4 and 5 seed.
Here we go.
I don't know what else to do.
You know, it's tough though. I mean, like I said, I kind of see where you're going with that, JQ, because it's tough because, you know, we know stars aren't falling off trees. It's hard to get a superstar. And it's tough because, you know, yeah, you have a trading piece in Paul. If you make that trade, maybe you are going to get worse. So, you know, you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you don't make the trade, you know, you're kind of still in the same position. So you have to try to add a piece here and there and just kind of, go par for the course. I know we're going to talk about Paul George. I'm sure they reached out. They talked about him. Things weren't obviously up to a certain par. And we talked about that as well, too, as far as, you know, for whatever reason, maybe – certain stars don't want to play in Atlanta, you know, whatever, you know. So, you know, at least they are hurt that things aren't happening. I mean, just like, you know, they reached out for about Jimmy Butler. I mean, you heard about some rumors about that. So there's a lot of moving pieces, and these things aren't kind of quite coming the way they want to. And it's hard, man. It's not going to happen. I don't know what that right magic move is, but, you know, at least they are trying to make an effort. So, you know, hey, you get a piece. Seattle Splitter, he wasn't really doing anything. He was hurt. So, you know, they're – you know, Tim Hardaway's been playing excellent. You know, there was talk that he was getting traded. So we're like, man, you're going to trade another great young player that you've been developing. So I'm actually happy they kept certain players. But, you know, you can't win, it seems like. So you're just going to have to kind of figure it out. You know, you're kind of like Cleveland. You know, we got to figure this out. You know, figure out the best way to get over that too, man. So I don't know.
Let me ask you a question, though.
Sure.
What if in this last 20 games, Millsap was like, you know what, I changed my mind. This week going to continue to be the 4 or 5 seed, and he leaves just like Al Horford for nothing. Then what? You know, I mean, I don't understand that. You know what I mean? Like, he still is going to be a free agent. He can decide to bounce, and Atlanta will end up letting their best two players leave in consecutive years and got zero for him. And that's what I'm trying to understand from the GM standpoint. What is the end game? What are you trying to do? Unless he signs a backroom deal that they just have to wait to bring the light, he could walk away, and you're still sitting there in no man's land. I don't know, man.
That's true.
I'm sorry for your heart.
That's true. I mean, that's a fair point. I mean, like I said, not to spend all this talk about this, but, there's no guarantee. There's no crystal ball saying, you know, this player, you know, whatever. I mean, we talk about all the time with certain players, and Rob said about Buddy Hield. And, you know, the whole potential thing is there. I mean, you're hoping this player is going to be the next great player. The Lakers, you know, they're winners, but are they really going to be that next, you know, is there another, what's happening with that? You know, you're trying to get Paul George. He wants to go to a winning organization. Yeah, they're a winning organization. Are they there yet? You know, no. I mean, we'll be here all day talking about that.
No.
So, it's just kind of like, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. Rob, you have anything to add to that before we move on to the next topic, Rob, or what?
No more. We can move on.
Rob's like, no more.
No more Atlanta talk.
Let's see here. Let's talk about the Boston Celtics here and their pick from the Nets. Rob, this is all you, sir.
Well, you know, the Celtics obviously didn't make a big trade here, and obviously they were in the conversations with Paul George and also talking with the Bulls about Jimmy Butler. trying to see if they can do something to get them to the next step. Obviously, they're holding down the number two seed, and Brad Stevens doing a phenomenal job with this basketball team. But obviously, you know, you have Al Horford, you have Isaiah Thomas, you know, two second-tier stars, I guess you would call them, but still not a top-tier star. And, you know, Paul George could really solidify them as a number two seed in the Eastern Conference, obviously. Now you got to turn your attention to, you know, you're going to get a high draft pick with the Brooklyn Nets, and right now they're the worst team in basketball. So there's a chance that, you know, this is a team that could wind up with the number one pick in the draft. And so, I mean, and so it's only going to make the Celtics better going forward. And when you look at this year's draft, Markelle Fultz from Washington is the clear-cut number one pick in this year's draft. 6'5", averaging 23 points a game, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. Can really do it all. Shoot, handle the basketball, pass. And then you have Lonzo Ball. So, I mean, he's right there in that second or third spot. And Lonzo Ball is more of a pass-first point guard, a tall point guard at that, about 6'7", averaging 7.6 assists a game, 15 points, and also 6 boards. So he's, you know, you're talking about a UCLA team that was 15-17 last year, and now they're 24-3, and there's a national title contender, and Ball is a big reason why. And, you know, some depending on where they fall in the draft, some other options, you got to look at Jason Tatum, small forward from Duke. Obviously, Josh Jackson, small forward from Kansas, who's a tremendous athlete, having 16.57 rebounds a game. Another guy to look at, Jonathan Isaac, power forward from Florida State. And all of these guys are freshmen. And then you look at Arizona, Laurie McConnon, the power forward from Arizona, a guy a lot of people really think he's the next Dirk Nowitzki, you know, 7-footer that can really step out and shoot the basketball. So, I mean, they have some options. Obviously, Fultz is the prize of this draft, and so we'll see if the Celtics will get that number one pick. But obviously, if Brooklyn, at the rate they're going, they should be picking somewhere between 1 and 4 in this draft.
Wow.
And also Monk from Kentucky. But the thing I have, the same thing I talked about with L.A., I would say with Boston. Why not go get Butler and George and spend those assets? Look at your team that you have constructed. They wouldn't give up Jay Crowder, who's in that 6'8 range, to go to get Jimmy Butler. Everything was finalized in that deal except for Boston didn't want to include Jay Crowder. You had the ammunition and number one pick. You didn't have to get number one pick to get Butler, but you had to give up that number one pick to get George. So you do that, but what if you – now they haven't done that. So now you got – Smart and Bradley and Crowder and Thomas and I mentioned somebody else they have in the young kid they just drafted, Brown, all in that same kind of, except for Isaiah Thomas, all in that same kind of, you know, 2-3 in this era, stretch 4 kind of spot. These guys you drafted are all going to those same positions where you already had your stuff, you know, your rotation and stuff established. When are they going to play? How much are they going to be able to give you? Are you going to bench the other dudes that have been playing well? Why not spend those assets to go get 2 stars and put and not have to give up Al Horford or Isaiah Thomas and put those 4 together and take your chances? That's what I was looking at, Boston. Like, at some point, you have to spend that capital of the assets that you create, especially when the dudes that are coming out are coming right into the positions that you already have filled with your rotation. I would have spent that and went and got 2 stars. That's me. And we'll see how it works out for Danny Ainge in Boston. But everybody talked about is going to spots that's already there. And Jay Crowder may not resign because he was already pissed that, you know, when Utah came to town and Hayward was getting all the love from the Boston fans. So why not give him to Chicago to get Butler? I don't get that from Danny Ainge's perspective. I don't.
Hey, Rob, we got about 2 minutes before you finish that thought. Go ahead and wrap this up for the show here, and we'll get this going here as we can carry on. Go ahead.
We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, this is it for our live portion of our show on tonight. We certainly appreciate everyone listening. We got a little bit more basketball to talk in our OT portion. So click on the same link on tomorrow. We got to cover with the NBA trading deadline today. So click on the same link. We'll give you the rest of the basketball coverage. And we may be able to squeeze in some football coverage here as free agencies are getting ready to start here in a few weeks in the NFL Combine. So definitely stay tuned. Next week we're going to be on the air on Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, so you don't want to miss it. Once again, Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. Good night, people.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for listening to us. I'm sorry about ranting, but these guys got to spend this money, man. They, if you want to catch Golden State in Cleveland, you got to be bold. Talk to y'all next week.
I'm just happy that everyone got that in. That's pretty awesome. All right, gentlemen, we are out of the live portion. We want to get you and Rob into the fantasy shout-outs real quick. I want to have you do that live, but we can throw the fantasy shout-outs in there really quickly, sir, as well, sir.
All right, fantasy shout-outs for the week. We're in the obviously, we're kind of in a split week this week with the All-Star break this past week. So we don't have any winners and losers from last week because we're still in the middle of a week, actually. From last week's Monday through Thursday, and then the rest of this week is considered 1 week in fantasy basketball due to the All-Star break. Yours truly still holding down first place. The Orleans Buck Jumpers, my team at 94-33-1, still holding down first place in fantasy basketball. Hopefully looking to have a great week this week as well and going forward. And thank you all for continuing to play and compete and making it fun. So we appreciate all of our competitors, too.
Yeah, Eagle Fox is going to have a nasty matchup when you get off that bye, though. That's going to be fun to watch.
Uh-oh. Let's keep this moving really quickly here. Did the California tax rate hurt Magic Johnson from taxing free agents? All you, JQ, your thoughts about this, man. This is your team, bro.
You know what? I think nowadays guys have got so much better with their money that it might. That California, you know, appeal and draw, I don't think as big in 2017 as it was back in the day, even though, you know, it's really big summer league there in L.A. because it's such a global game, you can kind of ball out and visit and leave and go somewhere else. I think it does. I mean, you're giving up so much of your money off that tax rate. But I still think a piece of it is that Laker brand is still, you know, a big part of the NBA. And you've got, you know, like we talked about, Russell Westbrook that's from L.A., Paul George that's from L.A. So you still have some of those guys that may want to come home and play, but I think it is a detriment. You know, guys are really more serious about their paper nowadays, and you got to have a winner. You know, it hurts Golden State as well because those guys have to go through the same thing, and they're thriving, but they already are already there. It's not trying to build the team that L.A. is doing and having guys come do it. It's a lot easier to get that cut out of your check when you're going to get it back in endorsements and apparel and all that other stuff because you're already a winner like Golden State is. So I do think that's one of the detriments also to the also with the losings they've been enduring here. So he's going to have to use that magic smile and that you know, that charisma to get guys there, and we'll see if it works out in that.
Wow, good call. Your thoughts about this, Rob Ford?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. I think Magic will be able to sell. Unfortunately, you know, being a Laker hater that I am, I'm actually a little worried about this because I do think that Magic has a way. And I had an opportunity to meet Magic in person here a few years ago, and he just has that way about himself. He's a great salesman, and so I think it's going to be hard to keep the Lakers down for a long period of time. With him running out. Is it going to happen overnight? Nope, it's not going to happen overnight. But I think, you know, give him a couple of free agency periods here going forward, and I think he'll have the Lakers competitive again. And you know, you can look at the tax rate increase there in California, but there's a lot of opportunities there in Los Angeles when you're talking about sponsorship deals and things of that nature that can offset it. He's going to find ways to sell it, and then he's a businessman. So he can even incorporate a lot of these guys into his businesses too. And so he'll have ways that he'll be able to sell to these players and help them to offset some of that those tax rates and things of that nature.
Wow.
That's a good point.
Good call. Yeah, good point. Why didn't the Celtics make any trade, Rob?
The Celtics?
Yeah. What happened?
We just kind of talked about that a little bit, and I think what they're banking on is Brooklyn Nets pick, and they wanted to play it safe. And obviously, there's a lot of talk about Paul George, but I think what it all came down to from the Celtics standpoint is, you know, you may get a year and a half out of him. He's going to be in a free agent next summer. And he's from Los Angeles. And everyone believes that the Lakers would be the favorite to sign Paul George. Paul George seems like he's been in the league 10, 15 years, but the guy's still only 26 years old, which is unbelievable.
Crazy.
And,
crazy.
Yeah, and so, I mean, he's going to be a free agent next year at about 27, 28 years old. And obviously, you're talking about a guy that's still going to be in his prime. He's from Los Angeles. Everybody believes the Lakers would be the favorite to sign him at that particular time. So I think it was too big of a risk for Danny Ainge to pull that trigger on that trade.
Wow.
you got to. Because here's my thing.
When you talk about Larry Bird, you know, I think it just came down to him not wanting to trade him to the Lakers.
I agree.
Yeah, probably so. But my thing about it is I think you have to test his youth loyalties to the Lakers. If you put him in that situation, and if they had done both like I talked about, getting him and Butler and pairing them with Horford and Isaiah Thomas, and they start winning, and especially if they did that, and maybe if they lost to the Cavs, they took them seven, and they sit down, look at each other, and say, you know what, next year we get a whole year playing together, we're going to take these dudes out. And then if they happen to do that, and he hits free agency, that winning and that taste of winning, and look at these dudes on the team, like, yeah, come back here, look what we just did, that's going to be hard to pull away from, to go home to maybe Ingram takes a step, maybe Russell takes a step, maybe Randall takes a step. A lot of maybes when you're looking at a team that's ready-made that you just played with and you did these things with. You know what I mean? So I hear what you're saying, but I think that winning in that culture, if that happens, I think that would be enough to persuade anybody to stay. Like, I got a really good window with this team, and why not us?
Why not?
Yeah, that's definitely a valid point. And you look at a guy like Paul Pierce, who's from Los Angeles, and all the successful years he had in Boston. Obviously, you know, he had to wait patiently to build a championship team there. But, you know, that's another L.A. guy that was successful in Boston for a long time.
Uh-huh. Wow, good call. All right, we got about 8 minutes here, and we are amazing. I know we talked a little bit about Paul George in the Pacers, and I guess if you want to kind of piggyback on that as far as why he wasn't traded and I guess there's, I wonder what's happening behind the scenes. This is one of those things to be a fly on the wall. Is a situation where he's not going to the right location, or because of the fact that he is a free agent going into the year, going into next year, that is, and teams are kind of scared about pulling the trigger because they may get assets and there's no guarantee he's going to stay. So I'm going to throw that out there to you, JQ, your thoughts about that. We got about 7 minutes left in the show, and give us your thoughts about that, man.
Yeah, I think the piece of his Larry Bird just understands how hard it is. Like you said, superstars don't fall off trees. That's a true statement. Mm-hmm. I think he just has an issue trading him. He loves Paul George, and he just feels like the GM, Larry Bird, can do enough to persuade him because, to Rob's point, reports have come out that he either wants to win that championship in Indiana or he wants to go home to L.A. So when you know that from, you know, Larry Bird's perspective, if somebody just doesn't completely blow your doors off with a trade, it's hard to give away a top, what we say, 15 player in the league. Not give him away. You're going to get something back. Potentially number one pick in the draft, but Paul George is proven, and that dude that you're going to get is not proven. And we talked about Lonzo Ball and his crazy daddy talking about, you know, what he would do if he's burying Steph Curry and all that. Do you want to deal with that? You know what I mean? Like, that's a real kind of situation, whoever drafts Lonzo Ball. So I understand it from Labor's standpoint from that piece if he wasn't bowled over. But I still go back to, if I'm Boston, I'm going to do everything I can to almost bowl him over. You accumulated all those assets to make these kind of deals. And now you're getting gunshot on making these kind of deals. And I think I just feel like that's where Boston is right now. They're trapped in a catch-22 with having so much ammunition, they're afraid to make those deals and look up the next day and no longer have that ammunition. But from a Larry Bird standpoint, it's hard to get rid of a top 15 player. It just is. You never feel like you're going to get even 95 cents on the dollar, let alone 100 cents, you know, a full dollar. You know what I mean? Like, you always feel like you're going to get the short end of the bargain when you're giving up a superstar.
Wow. Wow. Rob, any last thoughts on that, man?
Well, yeah. I mean, JQ made a lot of really good points there. The bottom line is, you need stars in the NBA if you're going to have a chance of winning. I mean, Golden State's got four of them. Cleveland has got three. And if you get Deron Williams, you know, even though he's not the superstar he once was, you still might consider him a 3.5. But you need players like that in order to compete. So, and Indiana, Miles Turner has got a lot of potential. This guy has the potential, in my opinion, to be a star in the NBA as well. And so, you know, let him continue to grow, let him continue to develop, and you have a Paul George still around. You can possibly still attract someone else. So, I mean, right now you're sitting in the sixth spot in the Eastern Conference, and if you got a guy like Paul George on your team, you still could possibly have a chance to continue to move up in the seeding there in the Eastern Conference. But, you know, you would hope that you can build on that, go into free agency and see if you can improve your team and make one more run at it with Paul George and see what you can do next season.
Nice recap, gentlemen. We got about 5 minutes. Let's wrap this up. So I'm going to give you guys at least a minute. If anything you want to talk about, you both got a minute, guys, and then we got to wrap it up and get ready to talk about the show next week. So I'll start off with you, JQ. Any topic you want to discuss as we wrap this up?
You know, I didn't necessarily have one. I think we talked about it. I'm still disappointed with my Lakers. For everything I said about Danny Ainge, I feel the same way about, well, I don't know where where Magic was actually calling, making the calls, right, you know, during that transition period. Mm-hmm. But when you got a chance to go get proven superstars in this league and you got capital to do it, I thought you spend it. And I talk about it all the time, production over talent. And these guys have production. Other dudes may have talent. They may get there. But, you know, you're talking about potential. I want production over potential. You got to pull the trigger. And, you know, I don't want Boston to be good. I hate Boston. But when you have that kind of capital in terms of picks, and then, you know, with the Lakers in terms of young talent, you got to spend it if the offers are on the table to go get guys that have done it in this league and know what it's all about.
Very nice. Rob, let's wrap us up, man. You got 4 minutes. Go ahead and wrap us up, so and add your thoughts to that as well, man. Any topic?
Yeah, and just wrapping up the NBA conversation a little bit, I think another sneaky good trade today was by Oklahoma City getting Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott from the Bulls.
Nice.
Taj Gibson, I mean, this really increases. It doesn't give them another superstar, but it really adds to their depth. And I didn't understand why the Bulls would trade Doug McDermott. He's averaging a little bit over 10 points a game. And the Bulls are one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league, but you trade away your best three-point shooter on the team. And so you give another guy, Russell Westbrook, and penetrate and kick it out to him and shoot the ball. And obviously Taj Gibson is an all-hustle kind of player. He can defend, he can rebound. He's still averaging about 11.6 points per game. So I think this was – and they basically gave up nothing to get these guys. So I think this was another sneaky good trade. And OKC is going to be another team just because they got Russell Westbrook on the team. It's going to be a tough out. Come playoff time. They don't match up well with Golden State. That's obvious. But they're sitting in a seventh spot, and I think this could possibly help them to move up a little bit more going forward. And so I think that was interesting as well. And just a little quick tidbit. We didn't really talk any football, but obviously we got free agency. So to our listeners out there, that's right around the corner. You know, one of the guys I wanted to highlight here, I think is going to be the star of this free agency class, is going to be A.J. Bouye from the Houston Texans. And
yep.
I think he's going to be one of the prize free agents. And I think he could possibly be getting Janoris Jenkins kind of money that he received from the Giants. And so I think he might be the prize free agent in this class. So we'll see, you know, what teams is willing to go out there and get him. I know my beloved New Orleans Saints desperately need him. So when you got a last name like Bouye, you need to be playing in the Bayou. That's all I'm going to say. you got that French last name? Yeah, you need to be in the Bayou.
That's a good call on Oklahoma City Trey.
To our listeners around the world, you know, Budapest withdraw from the 2024 Olympic bid, so it's going to leave it down to Paris. And Los Angeles, obviously there's some security concerns in Paris right now, which will probably make Los Angeles the favorite at the moment. So we'll see. That's all of our listeners around the world. But definitely, next Wednesday night, we're going to be back on the air, people, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. You don't want to miss it. Like I said, we got combine coverage. We got NFL draft. We got free agency. Obviously, NBA season heating up. March Madness around the corner. We still got a lot to talk about. You don't want to miss Talking Sports with a 12th man. Stay tuned, people. Good night.
JQ, wrap it up.
Stay classy, San Diego. Stay classy. You're going to get your team back. Don't worry.
that's a really
right up the road in Orange County, in 30,000 seat stadium.
That's horrible. 30,000 feet. That's just awful.
That is bad. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure to share a little battle with you tonight. Enjoy your evening. We'll see you guys. We'll talk to you guys next Wednesday as well. A lot of love. We're still surviving. We're still all that fun stuff too, man. So we'll talk soon. We'll talk more about NFL draft stuff, and we'll talk about that as well. Thanks, guys.
Yes,
good night, people.
Good night, people.